Well, good morning. Glad to have you here this morning as we've settled in the end of February, last Sunday in February. Yes, there you go. So I think that means spring is coming. It's going to be in the high 30s this week, some 40s, so we're excited about that. Good morning to our friends watching live stream, and he'll be watching during the week as we've come to worship and continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Proverbs. For the next few weeks anyway, and then maybe we'll be making an adjustment to particular topics in Proverbs. But it's good to come and worship, seek the Lord this morning. Hopefully, you grabbed a program as you came in this morning. There are some on the two tables by the two entry doors. Thank you for wearing your mask. Up until you are seated, you have a choice then to take off your mask if you would like, or keep it on during the service. That is your choice, but we're glad that you're here. If you get up to go to the restrooms at any point, please again put on the mask. If you're a guest this morning, it's your first time, we're really glad that you're here. Before you leave today, at the end of the service, would you visit our welcome booth in the cafe? There are some folks there that would like to give you a gift that we have prepared just for you and your family. We're glad that you are here. In your program, you'll notice a couple of announcements, things that are happening new or continuing, and one is our institute. We've launched that, and we've had a really good response to those who are watching live stream with the topics that seem to be confusing in our world, in our culture, and we're going to see what the Bible has to say about those topics and be equipped to a biblical worldview on some important things happening all around us. And so you can know what the scripture says, and as you engage your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, you can do so with a reasoning, equipped heart to be able to have discussions what God says on these matters. So we welcome you to participate here in person every other week. You'll notice a date in your program or on our YouTube channel. You'll also notice that we have a worship night for March 18th, beginning at 7 o'clock, again here, live in our worship center, but also you can take that in live stream. Trying to get back to some other things that used to minister to us, and as we hope we're able to incorporate some of those things here in the near future. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and I know that you'll join me in that. And for many of you who have been grieving the loss of Sylvia, we were able to have her funeral here this week and to encourage her family. We're glad we had that opportunity to do so as God was present. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness and strength. Thank you we can come boldly to a throne in heaven where your Son sits at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Our great high priest who went through the heavens, who paid a price at a cross that we couldn't pay. And Lord, though we are tempted and we fail, he was tempted and he never failed. So he knows how to help us, how to encourage us, how to remind us of your faithfulness and of your love, and Lord, why he came to this earth and what he did on that cross to pay a pardon, to remove guilt, so we can have access right now, coming to you, trusting you, anticipating, Lord, that you are already present, not only in our hearts, but as we worship you here today with songs that we trust bring glory to you and will draw our hearts to you. Thank you, God, for your word as we open it up as if we're opening up your mouth. Speak to us wisdom today, how to navigate well in the world and in the families that we live in, that please you and honor and show value to one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Would you stand with us as we worship?
You see it through to the end. see it through to the end. The Lord our God is ever faithful, never changing through the ages. From this darkness, you will lead us, and forever we will say, you're the Lord our God. In the silence, in the waiting, still we can know you are good. Yes, we can know you are good. Yes, we can know you are good. The Lord our God is ever faithful, never changing through the ages. From this dark, all that we need. We won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all, and all that we need. We won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all.
Who am I? Like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. For the Lord of hosts has proposed, and who will thwart it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?
The dark tried to hide you, steal you away. Death tried to keep you inside of the grave. The enemy fought you, he tried but he lost. You cannot be stopped. We cried for freedom, we tore down the walls. You're mighty to save. awesome in power, relentless in love. You cannot be stopped. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus is triumph over the grave. Sing hallelujah, battle is won, nothing can stand against our God. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus is triumph over the grave. Sing hallelujah, battle is won, nothing can stand against our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus is triumph over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won, nothing can stand against our God. Mover of mountains, breaker of chains, Jesus is triumph over the grave. Sing hallelujah, the battle is won, nothing can stand against our God. Sing hallelujah, battle is won, nothing can stand against our God.
Father, we worship and praise your glorious grace, which you have freely given to us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you, God, Father, for loving us, for knowing us so intimately. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and that we would know you more, Lord, through the teaching of your word. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Why don't you have a seat? Isn't that such a good song? I tell you, there is about 4,000 things that can stop me, You know, if our hope is that we say nothing can stop us, that's just not true. But if our hope is nothing can stop our God, that's encouraging, because it's true. That it's God who is at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's not just us who's at work in us. And that's our hope, is that God is strong and he can't be stopped. It's a good song. We're in Proverbs chapter 5 this morning. Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to read the whole chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 23. Proverbs chapter 5. If you haven't been with us these last few weeks, we started a series on Proverbs called Wisdom to Live By. We started in chapter 1, and we're working our way through, so we're on chapter 5. And Proverbs is all about wisdom. Wisdom to know and to do what's best. To know and to do what's best. Wisdom to live skillfully, live with skill God's way. So wisdom isn't, God, help me to do what I want to do. Wisdom is saying, Lord, help me to live the best way I can your way. Help me to live the way you would call me to live. And wisdom, the wisdom in Proverbs is wisdom for everyday life. It's right down there at the grassroots level, day in and day out in our life. There's wisdom for work, wisdom for our words, when to speak, what to speak, wisdom for our finances. God teaches us about relationships and friendships and emotions. And we're going to talk about all of these things. Actually, God's going to talk to us about all of those things. And in chapter 5, God has for us wisdom regarding sexuality. See, God, he doesn't leave any stone unturned. God's not embarrassed to talk about sexuality. And he shares with us in chapter 5 how we can walk with wisdom in this world. There's probably no topic that's more front and center in the news, in legislation, on our TV screens, just everywhere we look. There's no topic that's more front and center than sexuality. And God's good not to leave us on our own to kind of sort through it, but to speak and give us wisdom. So let's read Proverbs chapter 5. This is, as we read, this is, we're listening in, we're kind of eavesdropping on King Solomon talking to his son. He's giving wisdom to his sons. And so as we read, listen, there's three different but very specific instructions that Solomon gives his son. So listen for those as we read. This is Proverbs chapter 5. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. Because the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. Verse 7. And now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. There's three main sections to Proverbs 5. Three main sections, and each section is anchored by this command, this direct instruction that Solomon gives to his sons. We're going to look at those three aspects of wise sexuality. Here's the first one. Wise sexuality listens to God's warnings. Wise sexuality listens to God's warnings. Look at verse 1 and 2. My son, Solomon says, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear, listen to my understanding, that you may keep discretion. Your lips may guard knowledge. Solomon's saying to his son, listen to me. Listen to my understanding. Listen to my wisdom that I'm giving you. Solomon's son must have had a lot of voices in his life talking to him about sexuality. Maybe in the locker room, maybe in the playground, maybe with his friends, and entertainment maybe. The messages he heard around him, there was a lot of voices in his son's life. And Solomon's saying, look at me, listen to me. I'm going to give you wisdom as you think through this and walk through this and deal with life. Not much different than us. We're not much different than Solomon's sons. There's a lot of messages in our culture, isn't there? From the time we're small, growing up, the back of bathroom stall doors, in the playground, friends, entertainment, billboards, legislation, news. Everywhere we look, there's messages about sexuality and what is best. And see, when we read Proverbs 5, we understand that it's not just Solomon talking to his son, but what it is this morning, right now, at 10:25, 9:25, is God speaking to us. And God is saying through Solomon in Proverbs 5, this morning, right now, he's saying, listen, listen to me. Listen to me as I give you wisdom. He goes on and he warns his son, Solomon does. What does he say? Verse 3. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Who is this forbidden woman? What is he talking about? Maybe maybe your translation has a different word there. Verse 6 helps us understand a little bit more of who this forbidden woman is. It says that she does not ponder the path of life. This forbidden woman doesn't ponder the path of life. She doesn't think about what God says. She doesn't think about the wisdom that God gives. She's thinking about the path that she wants to go on. She's thinking about the path that others maybe are saying is okay that she should go on. Some translations, that your translation may use the word adulteress here instead of forbidden. The idea here is this woman is willing to step outside of her marriage for sexual fulfillment. And she's wanting to draw men outside of their marriage or before their marriage for sexual fulfillment. That's what Solomon's warning his son about, this forbidden woman. And how does he describe her? Look at verse 3. She has lips that drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. See, she's a smooth talker, a sweet talker, telling men maybe what they want to hear, maybe what makes them feel good, what maybe puffs them up. And there's sweet words, flirting, flattery, kind of lure you in. But look what happens in verse 4. But in the end, when you fast forward, she's bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Do you see the progression there? Sounds good. And it's interesting. Again, there's a focus on her words, not her looks. We saw that in chapter 2. God's particularly warning us against sweet words that would draw us towards sexual sin. That it sounds good, it looks good up front, but when you taste it, it almost instantly turns bitter. The word here, it talks of poison. And then he says, not only will it be like a bad aftertaste in your mouth, but you'll be wounded by it. Did you see that in verse 4? She is sharp as a two-edged sword. There's imagery there. It will cut you. It will hurt you. It will slice you. It will injure you to move forward in sexual sin with her. Her feet go down to death. Ultimately, this Solomon says to his son, will kill you. It will destroy you. Spiritually, and many times, and eventually, even physically. Solomon says, what Solomon's saying, what God's saying to us is that sexual sin is not properly labeled. Do you see that? See, sexual sin sounds good. It looks like honey, but it's bitter honey. Sexual sin is candy, is poison, packaged in a candy wrapper. It's not properly labeled. It will say it's good. It will say it will bring pleasure. It will say it will be great. There will be no consequences. But when you unwrap it and you taste it, it turns bitter in your mouth and it destroys. That's what Solomon's saying to his son. Now, as we read this, we have to understand Solomon's talking to his son. Is it just women? Is it just some women that don't care about what God says and step out on their own to do what they want with their sexuality? Is it just women? Or can we say maybe that it is maybe more so men that with sweet talking and smooth words can manipulate women for their own pleasure? But the context is Solomon's talking to his son. So he's warning him specifically about women. We, as we look at this, listen, it's not just men, it's not just men that need to listen to this being warned against women. It's men that, it's women that needs to listen to this being warned against men. Sexual sin is not properly labeled, and God knows, he knows, he sees, and he's warning us. He's warning us. Now, the other piece of this is it's not just physical adultery. We zoom out in Scripture, and I don't know if you've heard Jesus in Matthew 5:28, where he says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. And we might say, well, yes, we have. We just read it here in Proverbs chapter 5. But Jesus says, but I say to you that anyone who looks at a woman with the intent of desiring her in his heart, anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So Scripture's warning is not just to stay away from physical adultery, but to guard our hearts, and we talked about that last week in chapter 4, to guard our hearts even from in our hearts looking lustfully, whether that's on a computer screen, whether that's someone on a sidewalk or on a billboard or on our phone, whether it's a porn site or an advertisement, or a news website, to look with the intent of desiring her in your heart. God's warning us, it looks good, it promises one thing, but when you unwrap it, it brings destruction. Now we have a choice. We have a choice. Who are we going to listen to? In these first six verses, there's this choice for Solomon's son. Is he going to listen to his father? Or is he going to listen to the sweet words of sexual temptation that promise one thing but produce another? Are we going to listen to God's voice as he warns us in the midst of so many voices that try to lure us? Or are we going to listen to temptation? God says that wise sexuality we tune our ears to listen to the Lord and to his warnings. Here's the second thing. The second aspect of God's wisdom for us. Wise sexuality keeps far away from danger. Wise sexuality keeps far away from danger. Did you see that in verse 7? Solomon repeats himself. He says, now, O sons, listen to me. I already said it six verses ago, but listen to me. And do not depart from the words of my mouth. Verse 8, keep your way far from her. And do not go near the door of her house. Do you hear that? Do you hear that emphasis? I can't help but think about Grover. Do you know Grover, the little blue guy on Sesame Street? And he does the near and the far. To help us to know the difference between near, he comes close to the camera, and far. Pastor Josh said, you should do that. You know, you should demonstrate that. I said, I'm not going to do that, but I'll describe it. Solomon's doing the same thing. He says, do you know the difference between near and far? Stay far away from her. Stay far away from sexual temptation. Don't go near the door of her house. You know, sometimes we can be a bit naive. Sometimes we can be overconfident. We can say, and listen, if this morning in your heart, in our hearts, any of us are thinking, you know what, I see this, but it could never happen to me. If we say that, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. See, we need to stay far away from temptation, not after we've been burned by it, not after we've fallen to it. We need to stay far away as a preemptive strategy to stay far away from sexual temptation. Sometimes we think we're stronger than we are and that we can handle it. God says, no, 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 stay far away from it. Sometimes we think we can dabble in it and that we can taste the sweetness and avoid the bitterness. That we can nibble on the hook of sexual temptation and kind of chew off the bait and not get hooked. We know the hook's there. We say, I know, but I'm pretty good at this, and I can nibble at sexual temptation. I can nibble at sexual sin without getting hooked. And God says, no, that's a bad plan. Stay far away. Have you been to Thatcher Park, where you walk on the ledge there, and they've got the fencing, and they've got the signs, right? It's the right to say, stay on this side of the fence. Do not go to the other side of the fence. I don't know if it says all those words, but don't go to the other side. You may die. Death may occur, and it shows like a picture of somebody falling off the cliff. Have you ever seen somebody on the other side of that fence getting close to the edge, maybe with a camera, taking a selfie with their back to the cliff? They won't fall, right? I know there's a fence there. I know there's a sign that said I could die, but I won't die. Not me. Sometimes that's what we do with sexual sin. I know I've seen other people get hurt by it. I know what the Bible says, but it's just a step or two. It's just a texting conversation. I'm just private messaging with an old friend. It's just harmless flirting at work. And we think we can nibble without getting hooked. But see, God says to us, stay far away from it. Stay far away from it. I think I can be okay with unfiltered internet access and nobody knows what I'm looking at. I'll be okay. I won't get hooked. God says, stay far away. Don't go near it. And what he says in the rest of this section is God wants us to have, he wants us to read the reviews. He wants us to read the reviews on the product. He wants us to read the reviews on sexual temptation to see what happens when we bite, when we go near. He says, don't go near, stay far, verse 9, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers fill take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed and you say, how I hated discipline. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers. Verse 14, I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Look at some of these key words that God shares. Here's the cost. Do you see verse 9? Your honor, your reputation, your testimony for Christ. Look at the second part of verse 9. Your years to the merciless. That you lose years of your life to the merciless. Now, what could this have been, the merciless? Could it be the jealous husband who goes after the son who engages with this forbidden woman? You could lose years of your life. He says in verse 10, they will take their fill of your strength. Maybe that could be physical effects of sexual immorality. Maybe that could be financial effects. In the second part of the verse, he says, your labors will go to the house of a foreigner, maybe through divorce settlements, maybe through child support, maybe through blackmail. Verse 11, at the end of your life, you groan. There's regret here. Do you hear that? He quotes what his son may say if he doesn't listen to the advice. There will be regret looking back. Why didn't I listen? In verse 14, there's this haunting. He says, I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. There's a publicness that so many times can happen from sexual immorality. Public disgrace. There's a cost. There's a cost to not living wisely God's way with our sexuality. Do you see what God's doing here? This is heavy, but this is what God is saying. He's saying it will cost you more than you want to pay. It will cost you too much. It's not on the label. They don't put it on the outside of the package. But it will cost you more than you can imagine. Stay far away from it. Stay far away from it. Now, you may be saying in your heart, it's too late. It's too late. This is already part of my past. I've been the son who didn't listen to his father, who didn't listen to God. It's too late. I've gone after the forbidden woman. I tried to nibble on the bait and I got hooked. I tried to taste the sweet honey and it turned to poison in 3 seconds in my mouth. It's too late. You know, if we look a little later in the Bible and we look at some of the words of Jesus, Jesus talked about a son who didn't listen to his father. Do you remember that? Remember the son who didn't listen to his father? In fact, he said, I wish you were dead, Dad. Give me my stuff now. And then he went off, and the Bible says he went and he lived. He spent his money, all of his money, on reckless living. Now, it doesn't go into details. It's a parable. It's not a specific story. Jesus is telling a parable to make a point. But we could assume that in some of that reckless living, there were some forbidden women that took his money, his labors, his strength, and left him with the pigs. Feeding the pigs. Do you remember that story? And he comes to his senses, and what does he do? He goes home thinking he's got his script going and he's going to beg his father that he could just be a servant, just be an employee. What does his father do? He runs to him. He embraces him. He clothes him with the best robe, puts a ring on his finger, and makes a feast. Listen, if you have not listened to God's warnings, if you have not kept far away from danger. You have walked into it, and that is part of your past. You need to know that the same Father who warns us is the Father who will receive us and accept us when we run to him. There's mercy and there's grace. Chapter 5 and the warning is not the end of the story. The story continues, and it goes to the cross where he died for our rebellion and our They're ignoring his counsel. And it doesn't end at the cross. It continues to the tomb where he rose from the dead to show that the cross was enough to pay for our sexual sin. If there is sexual sin in your past, Jesus is big enough and he's good enough to forgive. The only thing that we're required to do is run to him. The only thing that will disqualify you from forgiveness is not running to Jesus. No one who comes to him will be cast out. So there's forgiveness and there's grace, even in the midst of warnings. You may say, well, Kevin, you don't understand. I'm not the son who doesn't listen to his father. Part of my past is I've been the forbidden woman. Or I've been the forbidden man. Who with smooth words manipulated other people to get what I wanted. That's part of my story. But have you heard what Jesus was accused of? That he was accused of, by religious people, being a friend of sinners and tax collectors, that he hung out with the drunkards and the prostitutes. Jesus came to seek and to save the forbidden women. The forbidden men who didn't care or think about his paths, But he ignored his reputation and he went after the forbidden women to seek and to save them. No one is too far gone. You need to hear that grace, even in the midst of these warnings, and remember that your Father, if you've already run to him, don't walk out here condemned. Walk out here thankful for the grace that your Father has shown you. If you need to run to him for the first time this morning, from whether it's sexual sin or any sin, to run to him, he will receive you. All you have to do is run to him and turn from your sin and run to him for forgiveness. There's a third aspect to this wise sexuality. Number three, enjoy God's good gift within marriage. Enjoy God's good gift within marriage. There's so many warnings and costs in this chapter. We have to be very careful because we can begin to think that God's perspective on sexuality is that it is bad, that it is dirty, that it is yucky. But that's not. See, God, he made us, and he's the one that came up with sexual intimacy and designed sexuality to be enjoyed within God's good gift of marriage. Now, we see that in this next section. There's a couple things we see. One is that this good gift is to be used exclusively and enjoyed exclusively within marriage. Look at verse 15 through 17. Drink water from your own cistern. So this imagery of water and drinking water is used for sexual intimacy. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Now, so in verse 15, he talks about a cistern and a well. Now, he says, drink water from your own cistern, from your own well. See, cisterns and wells, they were not public sources of water. Cisterns and wells were privately owned. They were private, exclusive sources of water. That's very different than verse 16. Should your springs be scattered abroad? Should your streams of water be in the streets? See, streams and springs, those are public sources of water. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, no, this good gift of sexuality is to be enjoyed within marriage, in the exclusiveness and the privateness of marriage. Verse 17 makes it pretty clear. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you, not for the forbidden men, not for the forbidden women. There's an exclusiveness to this. We talked about this on Wednesday night. It's, you know, and just so you know, we didn't plan this. The Wednesday nights, we've been walking through a series of classes called What Does the Bible Say? And just this past Wednesday night, the topic was sexuality. So we didn't plan that as we were doing the schedule for that and the schedule for Sunday mornings, but you know what? God did. God has some things to say to us. And so he lined both of these things up. But we talked about this on Wednesday night. The definition of marriage in the Bible, we go all the way back to Genesis 2, is one man and one woman in a lifelong committed relationship, covenant relationship. That's the definition of marriage in the Bible. You see Adam and Eve, God making Eve for Adam, bringing her to him, and he says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. Jesus picked that up and said, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. It's to be a lifelong covenant relationship. So marriage is the place for God's good gift of sexuality to be expressed and enjoyed. You say, well, but this, I don't know, Kevin, this passage doesn't, in Proverbs, it doesn't really say marriage. So how do we know it's talking about marriage? Well, look at verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Pretty clear that the context here, he's saying to his son, whether he's married or he's going to be married, he says, listen, enjoy God's good gift with your wife, your own cistern, your own well, the exclusiveness of marriage. But it's not just to be exclusive, but it's to be enjoyed. It's hard to read this and not get that sense. Verse 19 and 20, or 18 and 19, rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Did God just really say to be intoxicated with the love of your wife? He did. You know, it's interesting. God is not blushing right now as we read this. He brought it up. God brought it up this morning. And he says, enjoy God's good gift of sexual intimacy within marriage. God designed it for that. We've used the illustration before, but you know, a fire in your home is a beautiful thing, and it brings warmth when it's in the right place, when it's in the fireplace. But when it's outside of the fireplace in your home and you have a fire, it burns your house down. The problem is not the fire. The problem is where it's at. Sexual intimacy is a good thing, and God has given it to us in part to enjoy, in part to have children, but in part to enjoy. And he says, enjoy that within God's, within the context of marriage. Now, let me just say two or three things as we consider this. One is that one of the things that may happen many times is that, you know, which one of us has been 100% sexually wise in our life? Which one of us has always pondered the paths of life? And so we carry things from our past, sometimes guilt, and we have felt dirty about things we have done in the past. And then maybe we walk into marriage or we come to Christ. And it can be difficult for us to separate that. And we still may view sexuality and sexual intimacy, and we may struggle with that as we're haunted by memories of the past of when we stepped outside of God's plan. What you may need to hear this morning is from these verses. Did you hear God's blessing on sexual intimacy within marriage? You may need to hear this morning that that sexual intimacy in your marriage is not dirty and it's not bad, and you should not feel guilty about that. There's a blessing on that. That's the right place for the fire in your home. And he tells you to be intoxicated always in her love, to rejoice in the wife of your youth. Even when you're not young, even when she's not young. Let me say another thing too, that even as we think about this and we think about this, this encouragement from God to enjoy sexual intimacy, our marriage, we have to be careful that God's good gift is not just about me. It's not just about me being pleased and me enjoying it. See, when we zoom out, again, Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve. And then he says, he sent us with the same mission, not to be served, but to serve. That means that every relationship that you're in, especially marriage, God has placed you there not for your own fulfillment, ultimately, not for your own desires to be fulfilled ultimately. God has placed you in those relationships to serve and to bless. That includes within God's good gift within marriage. Are we to enjoy it? Yes, we are. But we're not just to think about ourselves, but to serve our spouse, even in this area of sexuality, to think about them more than we think about ourselves. 1 Corinthians 7 says it this way. 1 Corinthians 7, this is verse 2. Let me read it to you. This is Paul, and he says, because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as we read this, one thought may come to your mind is, I'm not sure I like that. Nobody has authority over my body. I have authority over my body. But see, the spirit of this passage is not about control. The spirit of this passage is serve your spouse. Look not just to your own needs, but also to the needs of others. Serve your spouse, even in this area of sexual intimacy. I want to just speak to one more thing on this is you may be here this morning and you may say, well, I'm not married. So this passage and other passages tell me to enjoy God's good gift within marriage. I'm not married, so what do? Well, the Bible teaches us that outside of marriage, again, outside of that fireplace, the fire is dangerous and is destructive. So the call is to self-control and abstinence to those who are not married or have yet to be married. Now, you may say, okay, no problem. I'm content being single. Not sure I ever want to get married again. Or you may say, I'm not sure I ever desire to get married. You know, the Bible says that's okay. The Bible says that's okay. Sometimes in our culture, we kind of think, well, you got to find somebody. The Bible says, you know what? Paul said, it's good. I wish everybody was like myself. He said he was single. He said, you can serve the Lord, run faster, travel a little lighter as you're serving the Lord. It's a good thing. But he says, it's a good thing to be married as well. He says, he gives a couple stipulations there. He says, only in the Lord, so make sure you marry a Christian. And a Christian, when we say marry a Christian, those who are in the Lord, the idea is to find somebody that's running hard after Jesus. Do you desire to be married one day? Marry someone who's running hard after Jesus. And let me just give you a piece of counsel. If you're going to find somebody that's running hard after Jesus, you're going to have to run hard after Jesus. See, focus not on finding the right person. Focus on Jesus and run after him. Serve him, love him, seek him. And then some of the best advice I heard was run hard after Jesus and look to the right and look to the left to see who's running with you. Those are good prospects. But until that time, God would say, God's good gift is to be enjoyed within marriage. And so wait and abstain, lean on the Lord until that time. Look at just a couple more verses as we close here. Look at verse 20. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with the forbidden woman? He goes back to the warnings. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with the forbidden woman? Embrace the bosom of an adulteress. Why, he says. Now, there's two reasons implied here. One is what comes before it. Why should you go to a forbidden woman when God's good gift can be enjoyed and blessed and avoid all that destruction within marriage? Why would you do that? That's kind of the gist of this because of what came before. Also, look at verse 21. There's another reason, though. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman? Verse 21, for because a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Don't be intoxicated, drawn away into sexual sin. Why? Because man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. God sees. Yes, sexual sin is destructive. It's costly. But this reason is the top of the list. God sees what's done even in the dark. Even when no one else sees. He sees. There may be someone or some here this morning, maybe watching this morning or down the road, and you are on the brink of or in the midst of adultery, continually looking at pornography. You're in the midst of that. It's not even part of your past. It's part of your present, or it's real, real close to being part of your present. We need to hear this, that God sees that. And that you and I will stand before God and give an account to him. That he will judge us for not listening to him and going into sexual sin. But you also need to hear that God, the God who sees, he knew even before you walked into that. And God showed his love, even for us. He showed his love for you who are in the midst of sexual sin. He showed his love for you in this, that he sent Jesus to take the judgment that you deserve. The Bible says his kindness leads us to repentance. Listen, this morning, if you're in the midst of sexual sin, let God's kindness lead you to repentance. Let the truth that Jesus took your judgment, no matter how bad your story is right now, Jesus can take your judgment so you don't have to when you stand before God. Let that sink in and let that pull you away from your sin and have you run to Jesus and run fast. And you may need to pull the lid off that and bring light into your life by not just running to Jesus and confessing to him, but by bringing it to a Christian friend or maybe a pastor and say, this is going on. I need to turn away. I need to let the Lord shine his light on this and free me. Run to Jesus. He's the one not only that warns us, but that rescues us and shows us mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being such a good father. One who gets up into our grill, looks us in the eyes, and talks about the difficult things, warning us. And Father, thank you for being such a good father who sent his son to step on the earth to take all of the shrapnel and all of the judgment and the wrath of God that we deserve. Thank you for not just warning us, but for offering us rescue. Lord, help us not to not delay, to not dabble, but to run to you and to stay close to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand with us and worship?
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all knowing, he counts not his come. Thrown into the sea with no bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the violence, the poor.
this our loss. His blood was the payment, his death was the cost. We stood in the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord.
Being here, and have a great week.